Do you think I need to go and paint that yellow BR, bruv?
Thanks for having me round, Themos. We have the Casa del Themos watching the England game, England versus Slovakia. It's 1 minute, 25 seconds in. We're not going to sit here through the whole 90 minutes, but I'll edit it. Well, it depends how interesting the game is. My prediction
is it's going to be shit.
Not shit, but boring. Yeah. Relatively boring. I mean, England in general are quite a boring team to watch, but they're at the top of the group, right?
Yeah, they're out there. This is out of the group now. This is in the last 16. Here he is, Dad. Here he is. Go on, Dad.
Listen, we're not going to just talk about football. I've got a few European stories I want to talk about. We've got some graph critique. We might even have a listener's questions as well. Sorry, just so for the non-football guys, don't be put off. Because I'm not into football. He's definitely got more invested in this game. Is it Slovakia? Yeah. Who's got the hotter women? England or Slovakia?
England doesn't have many hot fans, bro. Let's be fair. But I've never been to Slovakia.
Yeah, me neither. Me neither. But when you were talking about England before playing boring, it's just for me when I watch it, you know, me being from Brazil and everything, I like to see passion.
Yeah. You know like what I mean? See Ronaldinho. Spinning straight to Strelets, and that's encouraged Slovakia again. Your mum encourages Slovakia again. Get in, my son. Get in. Yeah, pat on the back for you as well, you fucking nonce. No. A couple of bits, but not work that pod worthy. Oh my god!
Oh shit, just as I walk in, no! And Ivan Strance has yet another goal in the European Championships. A third for the Slovakian winner. Damn, son.
Gareth Southgate, you're a fucking nut. Come on, let's put a bet on.
Yeah. What bets are
Can I go to the bet fair?
Even if it's only like a couple of quid or whatever.
Yeah, but yeah, I've got no money on the bet fair. I've transferred it from the HSBC.
But I'll put a fiver in, you put a fiver, and we could put a tenner
bet. What, a tenner's bet?
That's what I'm thinking.
I do like 20p bets.
I know. No, same. But I'm just saying, we have actually some like proper stakes. You know what I mean?
That's a try with it.
What about who's going to score the next ridiculous England goal?
9-5.
Woo! No.
We've got to get this bet in quick, son. England are going to win.
All right, cool. Yeah, run him down, man. What bets we got on now, man?
Le bets.
Yeah.
4-2.
Uh-huh.
To the score to finish 4-2 with the £2 stake. I mean, 252 quid back. Go on, Amber, bro.
Well, let's see. You need England to get on back then before half time, man. But yeah, okay, next one.
Phil Foden to bag next. I think bag next.
Oh, to bag next. God. Okay, come on, Foden. Let's go, Foden.
Mark Gray to bag anytime. 14-1. 50p gets £7.50.
If who?
The centre back.
Okay.
And I put 50p on it. Slovakia to win in extra time. 75p, £19.50 back.
All right.
And then England to have zero shots on target. It's the last bet.
Yeah. Okay.
It's a very, very wide, disturbing, negative bet slip. couple of them doing a bit better than last week, but fuck me.
All right, man.
Tell me about your stories.
I want to tell you about Sweden, man. When I was in Sweden, when was this? Well over 10 years. Maybe 14 years ago or so. Went out, because I was going out with a girl from Sweden at the time. So I went out there. I went back and forth from there a couple times, you know, to Stockholm. And all her mates were graphite.
It's nice out there.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. I mean, I went there during the summer once, and I went there during the winter. This time it was during the winter, so the snow. I'm talking snow up to here, yeah. Crazy snow. And all her mates were graphites, yeah. And Swedish people in general, you know, they don't, like, a lot of them don't have a sense of humor. Mm. A lot of them quite bland. But her mates were all nutters, yeah? They're all proper jokers. I got along with all of them really well, yeah? And they all bang into their hip-hop and shit like that. And actually, no. Can we play a tune?
No, because it's right, coming from the ITVX. Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to stick in a tune here. Yeah, when the long arm of the law is grabbing you, backstabbing you, police cars passing you, on dark avenues, mag lights flashing you, pigs harassing you, raking you down, smashing you on the concrete, you find out you can't compete with the number one thief on the street. I try to tell you that back on the biggest hustle track. It's okay to sell crack if the cops got your back, and they certainly will if they on your payoff. They know that if they fuck around, they getting laid off. And to cops, it's to the average citizen, a clean conscience compared to a steady income is nonsense. That's why I stay getting busted for bullshit charges. More than one time came around, this what went down. Now y'all call me Roy Buller, the comedy hog, eller hur big? You were all sloop, we had the just put up pieces. Now we getting fucked by the long dick of the law. Inflict the social diseases, cause they use no protection. Judge slammed the hammer, DA got an erection. Wouldn't even give me a public defender for such a small case, not paying on the train. Still they wanted 4,000 kroners for my bank account. I thought that was a too big amount, but the judge didn't have no sympathy on me. All on his mind, a conviction or a fine like Junior Reed. But I wasn't fighting, no war, no war. So why did my fist send a madman with the ticket to me door? I was only trying to make a whole car. The Bigfoot beast wanna arrest I and they wanna put I behind bars. In just a blur, in just a blur. Free Momia, Apu Jamar. Check it out, yeah. Yo, when the long arm of the law is grabbing you, backstabbing you, police cars passing you, on dark avenues, mag lights flashing you, pigs harassing you, breaking you down, smashing you. Yo, when the long arm of the law is grabbing you. No, that was a
banging tune, bro.
It's a Swedish tune by a group called The Loop Troop. Yeah, they have a song called The Long Arm of the Law. It's like a graffiti anthem out there, yeah. Anyway, yeah. So she says, oh, we're going to go link my mates and we're going to go paint this wall. Yeah, and I was like, cool. So I got some paint together.
Well, she's a writer as well.
No. She doesn't write. But all her mates are writers, man, and hip-hop heads. And so we go to this, like, it's like on the train, and then it's like the end of the line, yeah, they're like the last stop, yeah, so almost in like the outskirts of Stockholm, yeah,
in the suburbs.
So we come out of the station and we go to this local pub where all our mates are, and we'll sit there, we have a drink. They love to drink, man, so we're drinking from early, we all got bottles of everything. And then they're like, all right, we're gonna go to the spot. And we walk round out into this like field thing, and then round like this building into like a little forest bit, and then round this big like warehouse building, and at the back of this building it's just graph all over the back of this building, you know. It's like a hidden away legal spot, and I say the word legal very loosely because it's definitely not legal. It's just outside,
very
out of the
hidden away.
It's just hidden away, no one gives a shit. They all sit there and drink and paint and do all sorts. So we go down to this spot, you know, and there's about 12 of us, maybe 15 of us, yeah. And, you know, drinking, everyone's getting drunk, and we're painting away. I do like a shitty piece, but my whole time there in Sweden, in Stockholm, I'd seen like this emblem of like a moose, or not a moose, an elk. Mm. You know, they look like a moose, yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. And I thought it was like the Swedish symbol of Sweden, but it's not, it's a Nordic symbol. So like, you know, Denmark, you know, Sweden. What are the other ones?
Norway.
They all kind of have that elk as a symbol for like Nordic regions.
The Nordic Mandarin.
So I put in my schemes, I put loads of like elks in my schemes. And I even did like an elk character going, yo, Stockholm to London connection, whatever. Anyway, so we're paying away, we're catching jokes, and they're all like looking at, because they're all young, yeah? Younger, not young. Because I was, how old was I? Maybe 32 at the time. And my girl, she was 26, 27. Mm. So all her mates are like mid-20s. Yeah, it's fine. But like all her mates are like mid-20s. They're, you know, they're all bit younger than me, yeah. Although one or two, maybe not so much. Anyway, they're all like looking at me going, oh yeah, he's an old school head. And this was back then, yeah. I remember them telling from my painting. Anyway, we're getting drunk and drunk and drunk. Anyway, we finish our painting, it starts getting dark. So we walk back to the pub that we were in. And we get back to the pub and we're drinking. Now we're getting to like 11 o'clock, 10 o'clock, no, 11 at night. Mm-hmm. And we all go get on the train now, you know, like last train.
So you're back to the bits.
Now, all of them, obviously a lot of them, they're all talking Swedish, but you know, they're talking in English as well for my sake. And they were trying to tell me how there's so many undercover police on the trains, you know, and this station is notorious for catching graffiti writers because of this spot that's nearby. Maybe there's a train yard nearby as well. So there's always undercovers at this station. And they were telling me, look, if there's a group of lads, they're going to be onto us. And obviously, I'm keeping quiet. You know what I mean? It's not my city. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know jack shit.
But you have to get the train back. No?
Yeah, of course. So I'm just going with the flow. But in my head, I'm thinking these guys are mad paranoid. Yeah, like, come on, we're just getting on the train. Who gives a shit? Yeah, we're not going to start graphing up the train and shit.
Oh, right. But so they're paranoid. We're not even doing graph.
We're not even doing it. We're just like, okay, we got paint on us and stuff. Yeah. But like, you know, we're just getting on the train going home. I'm like, what's the fucking big deal? Just get on it. You know what I mean? But they're like, no, we got to split up. You got to stand at that end of the platform. We got to stand over here. So don't all get on the train at the same time, at the same door. I'm like, all right, okay, you know what I mean? Just go, like I said, going along with it. And we're on the plane platform now, waiting for the train. And they're all like, you know, like, they're all acting mad dizzy as well, yeah? And I'm just
there. Casual, yeah?
Yeah.
And I'm wanting, yeah.
And I'm just there with my girl going, just keeping my mouth shut and just going with the flow. And I could see them, like, pointing, like, you know, like, gesturing towards, like, a couple of people on the platform going, yeah, they're undercover. They're definitely undercover. And I'm like, nah, they just look like normal people, but whatever. Anyway, we get on the train now and everyone spreads out on the train. So we're not all sat together. I'm with my girl and maybe one of her mates and then the rest are all spread out. And my girl, we're going to her mum's house for like dinner. We were going to go for dinner and we were mad late for the dinner and we were drunk and shit. But her mum's cool. So anyway, we're trying to, you know, get there, but it's like we're like the last stop on the other end. So everyone, one by one, they're getting off the train. We can see them, yeah? And it's basically me and my missus left on the train. And we get off on the stop and we come out the exit and I learned this afterwards. Apparently there's like one of the biggest police stations is next to this stop. Anyway, so we get out of the stop, the snow is up to here, you know, it's crazy cold.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we walk round one corner and then three fucking squad cars just go and stop, block us off there. And I'm like, oh shit. And she's like, oh shit. And then just police all jump out and starts talking to me in Swedish. They split me up from my girl. They take her over there to that car and I'm coming to this car. And I'm like, I'm here from England, man. What are you doing? They're like, Jürgen Flergen, Mergen.
Jürgen Flergen,
Mergen. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And I'm just like...
Did any of them speak English?
Well, yeah, they started chanting to me in English. And I had paint in my bag and I had my digital camera. Which I'd been taking mad flicks all day of everything, you know what I mean? All our faces and the graph and everything, yeah? So I'm thinking, if they look through this phone, they can see everything. Yeah, if they look through this camera. And they put it all on the top of this car, my spray paint and the camera. And they're like, yeah, we know you've been here and you've been there and you've been there. And I'm like, no, what are you talking about? I'm just been with my girl. We're going for dinner at her mum's house. She lives just down the road, you know what I mean? And they were like, nah, you've been doing this, you've been doing that. And I'm like... I don't know. And then my girl starts speaking to them in Swedish.
Yeah.
And so that's when I just decide to keep my mouth shut. Now they keep asking me questions.
See if she can play it.
I'm like, ask her. I'm sure she could do a better job than me. Yeah. And I don't know what she told them, man, but they held us there for about 10, 15 minutes. And like they took my details down. I didn't have my passport or anything on me. I just told them that, you know, I didn't have it on me. And then they let us go. And I was like, damn. So they were being like paranoid for a reason. You know,
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it made Sounds complete like sense. It. And it was blatantly that the police that were on the train observing us, radioing to those guys outside, go, oh, they've left the train now. And then them lot came and got us. But I think my girl played it right and just kind of just played dumb.
My boyfriend's a tourist.
Yeah. I think you're going to say, my boyfriend's a toy. Just leave him alone. It's all right. He doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah, that would be brilliant.
But man, the police there, like, they're a force to be reckoned with, man. They're all big, tall, fucking
big
6'5" dudes, man. And they don't ramp.
I love pulling the tourist card. I haven't done it for ages. Yeah. Not ages. So I don't know what's going on. I'm just in here on holiday.
Yeah.
In the middle of like a fucking ridiculous fucking storm that you've caused. You know, like...
Yeah, there is a thing about that, yeah. And also there's this that whole feeling of like there's not going to be any repercussions because I'm getting on a plane back to England, man. Fuck you.
Yeah,
guys.
You don't care.
Yeah. What else has been going on the last couple of days, man, graph-wise? Keeping notes.
Beautiful new dubs down at White City on the way. I don't know who did
it. Yeah.
Fucking beautiful. Looks like proper graph, those bits. I love those bits.
Yeah, man.
I really do like those bits. And
mad props to Steve. On the last episode, Steve Stamp, incredible guest, really fun episode. I don't like. I was telling you
good
earlier,
guy.
Man. Like I feel like I didn't props him enough to his face. You know, I was too busy trying to get the questions.
Didn't give
that
him his flowers while he was there in front of him.
I mean, I hope he felt.
I didn't either.
I hope he felt that we love what he does. You were telling me you've been watching Peacock, yeah?
Yeah.
You're catching up on that series, yeah?
Yeah, it's quite a joke.
You sort of
it's more than quite a joke.
Yeah.
It's good, yeah.
Wicked. And Sipa's performance is good.
Yeah, it's very different.
Yeah.
To
different from Grindr, yeah.
Yeah, very different.
Yeah.
And it took a while to get like used to the character.
Mm.
But obviously they did like episode one where it is just about a bit of character development and that and then the storyline kicked in. But yeah, it's good, it's a joke.
And you could relate.
Like, he's fucking brilliant in it as well.
Yeah, what Steve's, yeah.
Yeah, he's fucking brilliant in it.
And it sounded like, you know, the characters of, like, you know, it was probably coming from a genuine place. Like, you know, when you hit your 30s or whatever and you see your place.
Yeah, he's in his late 30s.
Yeah.
All his mates are getting married and stuff like that and settling down and doing this and that.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, out of shape, physical training. Right. It's quite a joke. It is quite a joke.
Yeah.
And like Steve is banging his boss and stuff like that.
Oh, right.
Can't believe he's getting Hernandez out because he's like this like skinny little dude in the gym. He's the one who doesn't put on any weight, so he's a gold mine
for Sipa.
Yeah, who just keeps on in a training. It is fucking brilliant.
Wicked. Man.
First episode is like, first series is like 3 episodes and then the rest has got like quite a few, like 8.
Yeah. And the series 2 is the new one that's just come out. Yeah, it's just dropped.
Yeah, it must be.
Yeah.
It must be.
Yeah,
it's fucking brilliant, actually. And the more you get into it, the longer it goes on, the better it gets.
Yeah.
This is hard to do a pod and watch the England have got a fucking score.
Yeah.
They have to score. They're out of the fucking Euros.
The Graph Jam is coming up on the 7th of July, Sunday 7th. So this coming Sunday is the Graph Jam. Down in Latimer Road, man. If you don't know where that is, message us on Instagram or on the email. And I can direct you to where it is. Let me know if you're coming or not. So I have a rough idea about numbers and wall space and shit like that. But it's going to be first come, first serve. Hopefully we're going to have some heads come through. I mean, people have told us they're coming. Whether they come or not is, you know, we'll see. But, you know, we've heard it's going to be a bunch of heads down there, man. People you know, people you don't know. It should be fun, man. So, yeah, come on down. And Tapas, let us know, man. We need you down there, bruv.
Oh dear.
Come on, England. There we go. There we go. Score now.
Left peg. Go back. We got him to bank. We got him to bank. This one of our best.
What was it?
It's Phil.
It was the first guy.
It's been Phil.
What did I fucking say?
That's the one I chose. He was likely to score, but he wasn't that likely to score next.
Oh, that's a bet one. All right. Sick. Foden was next to score. Yes. Why is he sucking his thumb? Oh, he's got a kid.
His new kid. Should have a bit of volume. Just to watch
a little bit, yeah, just with the goal.
They better not disallow. What are they looking at?
Oh, they
onside. Onside.
Oh, he's offside, man. Fuck's sakes! He's offside, for fuck's sakes! What an idiot! He was just waiting there offside as well. Asking for the ball like an idiot.
All part of the move he was running for the whole time.
So what, is it a goal or not?
They don't know anything yet.
Goal stands. No, it won't stand. Fuck.
Mate, this has been fucking me off. Go on. Oh, clean it up, clean it up, clean it up. Get up, Trippier, you fucking nuts. We're playing on.
Shit.
Oh, if he's injured, it could be quite good.
All right, England just hit the post. It's the last 10 minutes, 81 minutes into the match.
Still losing 1-0.
1-0.
With another utterly dogshit performance. Don't deserve anything.
Yeah.
Nothing.
You were saying, yeah, they don't even deserve it, man. So what the fuck?
Tournament's over in the last 16.
Just score one, man. Let's get to extra time and then maybe we can get our bet. It's not going to happen, but still.
Shows you what gambling is like. We've lost all of our money.
Exactly. No, we did say they were pretty crazy bet. Yeah, they were pretty ridiculous. For fuck, who was that to? Absolutely no one.
But Gareth Southgate he's like praying. Like he's right now, like us. He's doing exactly what we're doing, praying for a result. He's not thinking, I'm the manager of the team. What am I going to do in the next 6 minutes?
Yeah.
He's not doing that. He's not running any type of fucking franchise. It's just nothing. He's literally doing like that. Oh yeah, 6 minutes. Okay, sweet. That's what we're doing. And we're just spectators.
Yeah.
You can't be doing this.
I'm saying, man.
Have an experiment.
Just try something out. Yeah, try.
If you've got the young lads, you brought them on the fucking tour. Give them a little. Give them half an hour.
Whoppa! Yes.
Is it onside? Is it everything good?
That was onside. Overhead. No. Yes.
Is everything good?
That was a single! After all that.
I just don't overhead trust the goals.
I know, I know. It's an overhead kick, man. That was a sick one. That was
look at them high five. You're playing shit!
Yeah, exactly.
Sort your fucking life
they
out!
They can't be doing that, celebrating like that. Get the ball back in the thing. Okay, I'll bet it's still on. Extra time.
Come on, Old House, you cunts!
Hey!
You cunts!
What are you putting on this?
Pan de jamon.
Panda?
Pan, like bread.
Oh, yeah.
De jamon, the ham bread.
So super haram.
It's like, super haram.
All right, it's not halal. All right, sweet.
Definitely not halal.
Let's do it.
But it's got cheese and shit in it. You've like a pizza dough.
Yeah, sounds amazing.
Roll it up.
Sounds amazing.
But look, you've got to get the old egg. You've got to wipe the old egg on it.
With a brush, you've got a brush.
Yeah, I don't have a brush. I'm just going to use your fingers.
Use my whiskers.
Oh yeah, you want to use that?
You can use my hairy arm.
Latina household.
Use my hairy arm.
Yeah, that's gonna be a good brush.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Never can use the oven.
What's in there?
Never.
Is that the blender?
Ninja blender shit. Usually that's quite good. Usually there's a lot more shit.
That's messed up. What if you just turn it on? You know when you want to heat up? Yeah.
Before I got used to this kind of fucking missus and her ways.
It's just extra storage.
But it's the same in all of the houses, all of those fucking Latina houses.
Yeah.
And I noticed it on Instagram as well. They were like, oh, want to use the oven in a Latina house?
It's just another cupboard, isn't it? Just it is technically, it's a cupboard.
That's all it is. It's exactly that.
Jeez, I missed it, man.
Less than a minute.
I was charging the phone.
Less than a minute into extra time.
Okay, so maybe that 2-4. I reckon Slovakia is going to get
even score, and then 2-2, and then England will go 2-1.
Come on, England! Let's go, man. You see, our tune has changed a little bit now. With 5 minutes of
play. It's been a shocking performance.
No, it is terrible. It is terrible.
That goal there was a shit shot.
Yeah.
From Easy, we call it.
Yeah, scrap.
Yeah. Which then someone flicked on with their head back in, sort of in the box, and then Harry Kane was running on and headed it on. It wasn't like, you know.
Yeah. What's been your favourite England song for England?
I mean, there's the three lines on the shirt, obviously.
Yeah,
blatantly
that, because I, you know what I mean? I basically grew up in Andy Jacobs' house from Talk Sport.
Yeah.
All of us did, the GPC, like Dan and Sam's dad, and he did fantasy football.
Wait, hold on. I don't
know any
of these people.
Fantasy football is David, Daniel Bedi, the comedians.
Oh, yeah. Oh! Oh, shit. Wow. Wait, yeah, David Bedil, yeah, they had a TV show called Fantasy Football.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that show.
AJ was like the producer.
Who's AJ?
He's Andy Jacobs from Talk Sport. He's on Talk Sport now, Hawksby and Jacobs.
Yeah.
He's Daniel Jacobs' dad, Sam's dad.
Who's Dan's
dad? Like GPC critic, Tim and...
What do you mean GPC? What the fuck is that?
I'm trying to explain.
Yeah, okay, go on.
The crew, like, we grew up, Tim and Nick.
Tim, salute Tim.
Yeah. And Nick.
And Nick. Big up, Big Nick.
Ed, who lived on my road.
We've mentioned them a couple of times on the pod, man. Big them up.
Matt, you've met these people.
I know
all
these people, yeah. I'm just talking to the people.
Sam.
Okay, so they, so you know there's his son.
Yeah, he's plays in their house all day. Right? I mean, it was just like the place to be.
Because Tim is a bona fide commentator now for like Italian football or for just
Spanish.
Any, Spanish football, that's it.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Or world football, I think.
Yeah.
World football, just on different channels.
I know he interviewed, he was talking about when he interviewed Messi and he interviewed Ronaldinho and shit when we at your wedding.
Fucking sick. Go on, Saka, beat him again. Lovely pass.
Let's go! You see, when they play like they want it,
that's the
Slovakia
sub.
Looks shit.
That's the sub. Yeah, they do, yeah.
You see how in Brazil, they train, they train on the sand. These are little kids I'm talking, yeah?
But they learn to play football in no shoes.
No shoes, on a hot sand, and with a ball that's slightly too small, and not fully inflated, and they put a little bit of water in the ball.
Yeah.
Have you heard about that, yeah? So that when they kick it, the ball is doing all that sort of shit like that, and they're still controlling it, playing it, and kicking it about, passing it.
They have to make pro just to be able to buy some football boots.
Just to buy the boots.
You know what I'm saying?
You know,
it's fucked.
And then that's why they play with that passion and flair, and they're willing to take risks, and you know what I mean, like these things that come, and at the end of the day, even if you end up doing something that looks stupid, as long as you're doing it from a place of passion, of wanting to win,
love
we'll forgive
for the
you
game.
And love for the game. We'll, as viewers, okay, we might go ah, you're shit, but then we'll be like, nah, okay, good on him, he tried, he gave it his all, you know what I mean,
and there'll
like
be
that.
Other opportunities where it does come off.
Yeah, and then when it does come off, it's like that's when you make those types of goals where, or types of moves
Konza's
where people
this day.
Watch it over and over. Oh, what, Konza, is he new? Has he just been brought on?
Yes.
All right, there we go. There we go, Southgate. Oh, Kane came off. All right, okay. Who's that stand-up comedian? There's a stand-up comedian. I think he's like American, so he's talking about American football. And he's talking about the fans who sit there go, I'd fucking do this and I'd fucking do that. And like, you're a fat fuck.
Yeah,
he said they shouldn't sell these, you know, the sports tops. They shouldn't sell them as double XL.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
should be able to fit in it, in a normal one, to even be able to speak about
it. I don't know who is that.
I can't remember which one it is. Maybe it's Bill Burr, maybe. Come on, get it out. There we go. That's
lovely,
it. Beautiful.
Oh, boys.
Beautiful. Let's go easy. It's out on the left.
Easy there. And Ivan's there. Now,
easy.
Now, release now.
Oh, shit. Oh.
The Bender! Could have done it for Brentford.
Damn.
Could have done it for Brentford.
Oh, he's trying to hype up the crowd. Look at his face. Come on, mate. Yay! It's darkest just before dawn. There we go. It's a result, I mean.
Performance.
Yeah.
Don't even want to talk about it. It's just, it was.
Do you reckon from now onwards, I reckon Southgate's going to like, he's just been saving it for now onwards.
Yeah.
And he's going to start.
Well, I do think, how long can this go on?
Yeah, exactly.
How long can you play shit?
Yeah.
In a tournament when you're all good players?
Oh, no, look, there's a ruck. There's a ruckers. Fight.
Come on, Declan Rice from London. Go on, Ricey boy. Jab, Ricey boy.
Arms house to your mom's house.
Slap it around his face, Ricey boy.
He's like, we won, man. Just walk it off, bro.
See ya! Enjoy your flight home, lads!
Alright, I'm gonna call. Shall we call it quits here? I'll probably edit this down.
Really looking forward to doing a normal podcast after having so many guests. Stellar Class A guests.
Yeah.
But then this happened. Oh shit, the panda jamon.
Alright, we're gonna eat the panda jamon.
Wow, smells delicious, man.
The panda jamon.
Alright, bro, say peace.
Peace, party people, Arms House episode 85.
85, yeah.
85 in the house.
We'll do an extra bit.
An awful England performance.
Yeah.
We're very sorry you had to witness that.
They still won, though. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Arms House should be the manager. Fucks out.
Yeah. Arms House to your mum's house.
Easy now.
Easy now.
Timmy Lee in the motherfucking house. That's what I'm saying. That is what I'm saying.
Yo. Mom's house to your mum's house. Thank you for having me
look
on.
Look at the mic. Look at the mic.
Theme, do you want to give a proper introduction to our guest right now, man?
Tim Lee is a best friend of mine, a certified don in every single aspect you could ever imagine.
Yes.
Ever imagine.
Even the hairstyle.
Whether it's academia or sporting or entrepreneurialism.
Yeah. Or having children. I mean, dude's got better
having
kids.
Newts, moving abroad, learning languages, playing guitar, being able to bust rhymes, going to bear raves since they, knowing about graphs since way back when. This is Tim Lee, bruv. GPC certified Don. I'll bring arms out for your
mum's house. Yes.
Certified Don. Very difficult to introduce a Tim Lee.
Theme. What an introduction. Thank you. This is the man who once wrote me a letter. And I pinned it up on my cupboard and it stayed there till I left my mum's house, really. Do you remember the Limpford Lunchbox Christie letter?
Whoa, what the hell is that? Limpford.
It was such a kind letter. Theme. It wasn't long, but Theme said to me, people should be more like you, Timmy.
Wow.
And he said, you're the Limpford Lunchbox Christie of Bredrins, which meant
the Limpford Lunchbox Christie.
Because Limpford is a West London Don.
Yes, of course, man. And you were the best man at his wedding as well. You did an incredible speech. It was such a beautiful...
Tim gave me away.
Gave him away.
Gave me away at my own wedding. Yeah. He bought me down the aisle. What are you talking about? Listening to Curtis Mayfield.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Fucking hell, bruv.
That was beautiful, man.
That was a beautiful moment.
It was beautiful to witness, no doubt. Up in the Spanish hills. Incredible.
Best friends with Messi. Best friends with best friends with everyone you've ever met.
Actually, we did mention you, Tim, in the first half of this podcast when we were watching the England game, because as you can see from your microphone, that's your vocation at the moment, isn't it? Is commentating on, is it on football specifically or just sports in general?
Football. 495 passes for Zidane's team and counting. This is Varane to Benzema, who spins.
Wow.
Karim Benzema with the breakthrough in the 82nd minute. A goal of real quality when Real Madrid really needed it.
That is a football knowledge done, bruv, about other sports. Traveling the world.
I mean, I see the basketball top behind. I see, you know me. I didn't know, man. I thought I'd...
Jesus ask. Christ.
But let him speak. What do you do, man? What? Yeah, what do you get?
Tim Lee no have to speak to nobody. Bring arms out for your mum's house. And a chat for a wee. Easy,
Timos.
Tim, where are you now, bruv?
So, Maddie, you mentioned children, right? I'm in the hallway of our flat. We've got a small flat. We live in Barcelona. It's a small
flat. You're back in Barcelona already?
Back in Barcelona. It's dinner time. It's bedtime. I thought, where am I going to be most out the way? So I've come to literally the hallway. This here is the front door.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I've just dressed
it. Sorted it out last minute.
I've dressed it. I've dressed the set. I've made it look... made it look like, you know, my sort of teenage dream, put up some football and basketball shirts and just make
amazing.
Make it a bit more presentable.
Who's that on the wall, Tim, on, next to you?
Here.
Yeah.
Eggie, prepare yourself.
Uh-oh.
Don't get it twisted, Bobby!
He's pulling out the Ronaldinho Barcelona top. Incredible, man.
Yeah, look, this is a special shirt for me, but I know Eggie appreciates it because I lived in Barcelona 2005-2006.
And what a year. What Maddie, a year.
Before I'd booked my ticket to go there, Theme had booked his ticket to come and visit me there.
Wow. Going is straight up and down.
Right, Theme, yeah.
And he came out four times in the year. And it was the year that Ronaldinho was king of the world.
Yeah.
Jesus and Christ.
And we played a lot of football, a lot of kick-ups.
On the beach waiting for Ronaldinho to join in.
Yeah.
That's how long we were there doing kick-ups.
We fell deeply in love with him. And we've been in love with him ever since.
He was my dad.
But then I met him a year after Santi was born.
Mm.
And he very kindly...
Wow, is that can signed?
You, yeah, that's signed. It says for wow. Santi.
I didn't even notice that, bro.
Yeah, signed. Oh, my. Did he write a little note then?
Yeah.
What did he say?
He wrote for Santi from Ronaldinho.
Wow.
R10. And that was for his first birthday. So he wrote that in the one. So I knew Eggie would love that.
What game did we see together?
This was amazing. Eggie came out for a Champions League
game.
They
call me Eggie. People call me Eggie, by the way. Yeah. For one to have a shaved head.
That's the first time we've said that.
The long egg.
Yeah.
He came out March 2006 and we saw Barcelona Chelsea in the Champions League.
Look at the way you're holding that mic, Bobby.
Yeah, it's great.
It's the only mic I've got in the house, isn't it, Maddie? And we tried it with the laptop. Yeah. We had to go quality. We had to go for quality.
It's been a football theme this episode, so I think it's perfect. And can you give us who's the famous commentator from England who the famous guy?
John Motson.
John Motson. Can you do a John Motson style? This is Arms House to Your Mum's House with Theme and Amber. Coming from West London.
Welcome, everybody, to Arms House to Your Mum's House, coming live from West London.
With your hosts, Amber and Theme.
With your hosts, Amber and Theme.
There we go. Perfect. I'll edit that together. That's a good one.
Welcome, everybody, to Arms House to Your Mum's House. This is live from West London with your Don Dapper hosts, Amber and Theme.
You got me. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. So, okay, so we watched on the first half of this pod, we watched the England-Slovakia game. It was pretty boring. We were frustrated the whole way through, right, till the very end. And then, obviously, we were bad-mouthing Southgate. He wasn't doing anything. I mean, you know, I'm an armchair. Well, I'm not even an armchair. I couldn't give a flying fuck either way, to be honest, yeah. But I want England to win.
Couldn't give a shit this game.
Since you're a professional, we want your professional opinion of the game and maybe a prediction of what's going to happen the rest of the tournament. Because I want to put some bets down and stuff. You know what I mean? So I know you know the stats.
Well, Maddie, my professional opinion doesn't really differ from my personal opinion or anybody's amateur opinion. I bet it's going to be similar to Theme's opinion or what so many England fans are saying.
Mm.
England were rubbish. Yeah. England were rubbish. Plain and simple, they got bailed out 94th minute by a moment of individual brilliance. Mm-hmm. That is what Southgate's relying on. He's lucky.
Lucky boy.
He's lucky it arrived. And they're through. And if you look at the way they've played so far, there's no way they're going to achieve anything. But football is a beautiful, brilliant game, and it is unpredictable. And
it's a game of two halves, I heard.
It's a game of two halves.
That's what I heard.
And four when it goes to extra time.
Oh,
and then, and Maddie, there's part of me that thinks if England can win playing that badly, they might win the whole thing.
Yeah.
They might win the whole thing because it's not how you start, it's how you finish. And if they gain some momentum and if he learns, because I think they look better when he changed the formation. So, and they've got great players on the bench. So, and the players, a lot of the starters don't look fresh. So who knows? If they play the same way, they'll get slapped by Switzerland. But I've got a feeling now, if you can win playing that badly, you could win it.
I mean, we were we were arguing about, like, me, someone who doesn't know much about it. I can see, though, when someone plays with passion, when they actually want to win the ball, they're chasing after it, they get behind it. They're like, you know, they're not, you know, falling over and like wasting time and playing tactically and all that stuff. No, they're just trying to get in the ball and get behind that. You can see the players when they do that, man. And there's definitely a lack of that I see in the England team. And I was trying to theorize as to why. I'm thinking they get paid way too much money during the league. And so when they play for England,
this is such bollocks what you're about to say. Yeah,
well, listen to this. I'm trying to work it out because I don't know. It just feels to me like they just want it over and done with these tournaments because it doesn't affect their pocket that much. Obviously, the pride should matter. I'm playing for fucking England.
Yeah. You were saying they don't care playing for England.
It doesn't feel like it.
To finish and go back so they can start getting paid again.
It just doesn't feel like it to me while watching.
Yeah, I know what you mean. But I think in the early years of Southgate, the standard or the bar was set very low. You know, England had failed at a lot of tournaments and the bar was set low. And he came in and firstly changed like the relationship between the England team and the press, and started to make it a friendlier environment and be more open to the press and more welcoming. And the team started to do well. You know, they went to the semi-final of the World Cup in Russia. Mm. So there was a lot of like goodwill generated and positivity. And I mean, he took over, I think, 2016. So it's a long time ago. But now, as a result of his own success, really, the bar's set higher because people are coming into this tournament thinking, we've got to win something. We've been to a semi-final. We've been to a final. And we've got such good players. We've got players who are stars at Manchester City, stars at Real Madrid, stars at Chelsea, etc. So I do think the expectation's higher. And then I do think the team looks tired, is playing worse. Perhaps the team is kind of less the blueprint of what Southgate likes. He hasn't got Sterling and Grealish and Maguire and Henderson. So he's kind of having to move away a bit from what he knows. And so I definitely don't think there's a lack of motivation, but I think there's cracks were surfacing and people are wondering, are we fully believing in the tactics, you know, and that, you know, the smallest kind of chink in the armor and it gets exposed. And I think that, because I sense that as well, Maddie, you know, the team looked kind of disengaged and lethargic and the players don't look happy. In a nutshell, they don't really look happy on the pitch until Bellingham scored that brilliant goal.
Yes.
I was saying, Tim, that the second goal was shit as well. Well, it wasn't shit, but it came out of nothing. It didn't come out of a nice play.
Scrappy.
Yeah.
Misplaced shot, bounced onto the floor, went up. Who is it? Tony. Tony gets a flick.
Yeah.
You know, keeper's already coming out. It was just a bit shit and a very lucky that Kane was just happened to be there to run up and nod it in.
I agree.
It's a very strange. It just seems to me so strange why it's calling out for something so obvious. If you gave it to most people in England, they say, right, this is what you do.
Yeah.
And there's no chance of doing it. And when he didn't do it in that last group game when we were already through, result didn't really matter. I wanted the top of the group, but didn't play someone. Didn't change it for so long. And if you're not going to do it then, he's never going to do it.
Yeah.
Well, he was forced to do it. He was forced to do it with Trippier when he.
Yeah, that was the last game. That was the first knockout game, and he was forced to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Eggy theme. I agree because that
it
third game.
It seems so bizarre that everyone knows what it is. Like his mates on the commentator. It was David Platt. I can't remember who it was. Just going.
Lee Dixon.
I don't know what he's doing. Like, I don't know why he's waiting. Like, what? And you think he's losing the camaraderie of his in-personality bridges.
He's cautious. He's cautious. Yeah. That's the way he is, you know. And he's played it very cautious. That third group game when England were through, that's a chance to rest players, give other players a chance, freshen up the 11. And it's kind of win-win if you do that because either your new team does well, great. And if your new team doesn't do well, well, you're through anyway and you've kind of reinforced your conviction in your original 11. So you're kind of...
And the players he's got, they're not like normal bench players. There's some sick players on the fucking bench, bro.
Yeah, agreed. Cole Palmer, special.
He's been showing you what's up.
Yeah, yeah. But he won't change. He's not going to change it now for quarters, is he?
Never. But
I was hoping
he's out of the back. Gay is out of the back. So who's going to be like Dunk or they're going to do three at the back?
I wonder if he will go through at the back with Saka at left wing back and Cole Palmer on the right, because getting Palmer in the team, I think, is key. I just think he's a brilliant player. And
who does Palmer play for?
Chelsea, but he's only had 1 year at Chelsea. He was at Manchester City. Well, let's see, you know, if maybe he can change the formation and be a bit bolder.
He came on, Maddie. He was at Giza. I was saying this Giza plays for Chelsea. Yeah, he scored about 26 or something goals in his first season at Chelsea. Brilliant he caught player. It in.
Yeah, yeah.
His cross or corner, I can't remember.
Mm-hmm. How are you with stats and stuff? Like in American sports, I know stats are so important and they're always talking about the stats and stats.
Yeah.
And stats. Obviously, stats are important here in Britain, like, you know, but they don't take it as...
No.
Yeah, I mean,
it's got different kind of qualities in the different sports, I reckon.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love the coverage of NFL, for example, and the way they bring stats in and historical comparisons. I love it.
Okay.
But with football, or certainly from my point of view, you want to go prepared with your stats, with your information. But if the game's really good, you're not going to need as much of it. You're going to need more of that preparation if the game's bad. Yeah. And also, a stat is... if you use it at the wrong moment, you might as well not use it at all, because it's got to have context. So that's a big role of the commentator, is sort of sensing and knowing where a stat fits and also when you've got time to get it in.
What's up? So France, to me, looking shit. Holland
looked all right. Shit. They looked all right in that game, no?
Everyone looks, to me, I'm expecting a higher quality of football all round. And England are looking shit, but like you said, I'm with the if this was the league and you're playing this shit and winning points, you'd be like, fucking hell, we're gonna turn it on at some point as like professional ballers, man. And we're getting further in the fucking cup tournament.
Yeah, only eight teams left. The only team for me that really, really has played well is Spain.
Spain
have been brilliant. They've all been right. Brilliant. Yeah, I think they've been brilliant. Germany have looked good in parts. I agree, France look a bit stiff and void of inspiration. But of the big teams, for me, it's Spain. But you just never know if they peak too early. You know, and they've got to play the hosts. That's going to be an amazing quarterfinal.
That's
yeah.
What I'm saying.
Yeah.
Spain-Germany is the next game. One of them's going home.
Yeah, Spain have never beaten a tournament host.
Oh, wow.
Never.
That's a good stat.
Yeah.
I like that one.
Yeah. But they've looked great. And Lamine Yamal, I mean, Eggy, have you been enjoying him? 16 years old.
God, and he didn't score on his fucking, it was his birthday or his dad's birthday. His dad's birthday.
Was it his dad's birthday? I didn't know that.
It was either his birthday or his dad's birthday in the first game, opening group game.
Wow. He's 16, man.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Wild.
How old was Owen when he started with England?
I think he was eight. When he started, he was young, because I think he was 18 at the World Cup in 98, I think.
Yeah.
But he was young. Yeah. But like Lamine Yamal's played 50 games for Barcelona.
Yeah.
He's starring at this Euros.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's still 16.
That's crazy. I can't imagine when I was 16, I was like smoking weed in the
park. In the zoo! Trying to get some Yeti's number. Where's the next house party?
You know what I mean? Just having a wank in my bedroom.
His dad is like our age. You see the photos of him and his dad?
I've met him.
Came
up
together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I reckon he's like Moroccan or Algerian or something, his dad, no?
Moroccan, yeah.
And they look like, at one stage, they're looking at almost like brethrens.
Yeah.
He's young, bro. Matt, he's like us. He's brought his youth in. Taking him to all that football shit.
He's a lot younger than us, Theme. His dad. Lamine's dad. Yeah. He's probably about 34.
Damn.
Something like, don't quote me on that, but for sure he's younger than us.
Yeah.
For sure.
What part of Spain? What part of Spain are they from?
So they're from a town about half an hour north of Barcelona.
Ah, okay.
I went there, Maddie, and filmed earlier this season. Yeah. And met the dad, met the uncle.
Nice.
The grandma and the uncle run a bakery in this town, in this suburb
what?
Of the town.
You went to what?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. That's his job.
Jesus Christ.
And I don't know if you've seen his celebration where he makes the digits 304 with his hands. That represents the postcard. the postcode of where he was raised.
Well, like a gang sign, but he does like 30. Okay, sick. That's it.
16-year-old gang signs.
Yeah. Yeah, that's for the postcode is 08304, and that 304 is Rocca Fonda in Mataró, where he was raised. He's really proud of it. There's a concrete pitch. There's that one concrete pitch where he grew up playing.
Where could people hear you commentate now? If you know, where is it? Do you work for different things?
So I work.
Places? Depends. I don't know.
Mostly, I do La Liga, and it's English language coverage. So it does go out in the UK, but the broadcast has changed. It's been Premier Sports and a few other kind of online platforms. But you can find it in the UK and then it goes to other English speaking markets.
Amazing. Okay, great. And you've been covering, you've been doing this now for how long now?
Six years since we came here.
What's one of the coolest moments you've commentated for, like that you've seen, that you maybe not witnessed live? I assume you do quite a bit.
All witness live.
All witness live, whatever. Yeah, whatever's
no, a yeah, no question. I did the playoff to get into the World Cup, the 2022 World Cup. There were two playoffs, like intercontinental.
Yeah.
And the playoff between Peru and Australia went to penalties and commentated on that.
I think you shared this, didn't you? Yeah.
Surely, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It was going out on BBC on the red button.
Oh, wow, and okay.
My phone, Maddie, when I finished the broadcast and, you know, turned my phone on, it was jokes. It was so jokes reading the conversations between mates on group chats. You know, like first of all, one of them saying, "By the way, I've got the BBC Red Button on, and I think it's Timmy commentating this game." And then sort of one by one, people, "Yeah, yeah, I'm on it. Yeah, I'm on it." Until everyone's in.
Yeah.
And then, oh my God, you know, just them saying like, "Oh, I beg Timmy mentions this. Oh, I hope he mentions that."
I was going to say, you know how like you see sometimes in the American ones mainly, like they drop in little like hip hop lyrics in like, you know, they slide little things in, little like Easter eggs or whatever you want to.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever done something like that. I guess
no,
not.
I'm not there. I'm not there yet. No, yeah. I'm not there yet.
Strictly pro fish, bro.
And what about those, like, you know, nice. Talking about Peru and, like, you know, South America and stuff, like the way they do the commentary, like they go, and even the Italians, like it's just so over the top, man. The Arabic one does it like that as well. They try and emulate those guys. And what, like, why do the British guys keep it so stiff, top upper lip? You know what I mean? And well, I mean, there's been a few.
That's how it was back in England, man. You listen to any kind of fucking show from back in the day on the radio or the television, and everybody talked like that. You know, and it was like, you know.
Yeah. Who's been your favorite?
Kind of weird accent.
Who do you look up to? Who influenced you, like commentating style wise?
Brian Moore,
Arms House,
Peter Drury, MC Theme,
good geezer,
Clive Tildesley,
Big Clive. Man like Clive.
Who else? Those are some of my favourites. But that British thing, Maddie, it's true. It's much more paused and it breathes and there's some silence. The South, for me, I love the Argentinian, Mexican. You know, there's some incredible South and Central American commentators who have like such an amazing lyrical capacity. More so,
like their MCs.
Oh, they're just so lyrical and with their descriptions at pace, but then the passion is incredible. Mm. In Spain, it's like there's the volume of words, but I don't think there's the same like quality. That in Spain, they hate silence. So it's got that intensity. You know, it's kind of like a machine gun, words the whole time, never let it breathe. It doesn't have the same nuance for me. And, you know, a lot of people here really like the British style because it's not as in your face. For me, you know, because I can't try and be something I'm not, so I have that style, you know, that's got more pause and calm to it. And you want to give yourself space to then go up for the goals and stuff. But yeah, obviously when you see the great Argentinian Mexican commentators, it is incredible.
I bet, man. And it's good for the reruns as well when you watch the clips on YouTube because they can't usually, for copyright, they can't upload the British version or whatever. So they always have like some Italian, foreign, whatever. Yeah.
And Arabic as well. There's
Arabic, they love it.
Yeah. And that is passionate.
Yo, man.
That is passionate.
And the thing is, I know in the Arab world, like speaking to my cousins and stuff, I haven't watched much of it, but they much prefer watch it in English because the commentators in Arabic, they're more, it seems like they're more about who's more passionate about it as opposed to just relaying information and what's going on. You know what I mean? And like, they just get sick of it.
Yeah.
They prefer the English one as well, like you said, man.
Have you met Messi?
Yes.
But you fucking have. I thought you were going to say no. Fucking hell, bro.
That's sick.
You met Totti, innit?
Yeah.
You had a sit down with Tots, bruv. Cup of tea, bruv, about yeah. Met Totti.
Yeah.
Came Totti around twice. My yard twice.
Yeah.
Who's Cristiano. Been the coolest footballer that you met? Like, he was just really cool, chill.
Met Messi.
Cristiano, was he cool? Was he a bit arrogant or what?
He was pretty cool, actually. He was both, if I'm honest. Like, he was pretty cool, but he did use our camera monitor as a mirror just to check himself and then even make a little suggestion on perhaps, you know, reframing this and doing it different.
This is my better side. This
yeah. Side. But he was fine.
Who was the funniest football, like sense of humor-wise?
I tell you who the most special was.
Okay.
And anyone that met him will understand this. He passed away not long ago. And this is going to sound like hyperbole, right? This is going to sound like bollocks, but this is God's honest truth. Mm. I met Gianluca Vialli once. I interviewed him at Wembley Stadium at quite a smart event. And he had this aura, Maddie, where when he walks in the room, you feel him. Like, even if you don't see him, you feel his presence. It's incredible. It was like this warmth, this positivity. And he it sounds cliched. He lights up the room with his presence and his energy. Mm. He came in, was aware of him. He was like engaging, warm, sit down. And we're doing the interview and it shouldn't be rare, but it is rare. You know, I'm sitting there and asking the questions and I'm like, he's looking me right in the eye. He's listening to every word I say. And he's answering the question. He's not answering what he thinks the question should be or what he thinks he should answer. He's answering the question. And I can't remember how long it was, you know, the interview, but once it was over, you know, it was such a buzz and he carried that energy right up until he left the room. You know, you could feel it. And as he left the room, you felt like the loss because he had this very special presence. And I've spoken to other people subsequently who basically shared that feeling, that opinion. And when he passed away, it was within the last couple of years, tragically young, the outpouring of tributes and appreciation for him as a person was incredible. But he hands down was like, you know, beyond football and celebrity and achievements, like just as a human was just incredible.
Wow. Yeah. He had an air about
Gianluca Vialli, man. Rest in peace. What a player.
What was his highlight of his career? Because I know the name, but like when did he play? Was it in the 90s? I think, yes.
90s. He came through, if I've got this right, from Sampdoria. Did you? Juventus.
Was he the one who carried the whole Italian team through the whole World Cup? No, who was that one in 94? Was that him?
No. Baggio.
Baggio, that's who I'm thinking of, is Baggio. Sorry,
Baggio, yeah. Vialli moved from Samp to Juve, and then he had this like thick, curly hair, and he shaved it all off, and he played at Juventus with a completely bald head. He looked incredible, and he won the Champions League with them off the top of my head, 96, and that was a crowning moment for him, winning that Champions League.
Yeah.
And if I'm trying to think, he wouldn't have won any, I don't think he won any international.
Who did Zidane headbutt?
Materazzi.
Oh, Materazzi, that was it. Yeah. Sorry, I'm getting my Italian players mixed up, man.
Met him too.
Oh, is it? Damn, did he have a concave chest?
Met Zizou.
He's
got aura. Favorites. He's got a serious aura, yeah.
Zizou?
Yeah.
Zizou, fuck, you know.
Yeah.
Who do you think, who would you place the GOAT, the greatest of all time?
Messi.
Messi? For Messi. Real?
Yeah.
More than Ronaldinho?
Yeah.
Yeah.
More than Pele?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. I mean, he is special. That's for sure.
Everyone, it's true though. Everyone, you know, it depends on your era, doesn't it?
Just been confirmed, Arthouse, forevermore.
Yeah.
Messi is the best, the greatest of all, the GOAT.
What makes it Messi better than Cristiano Ronaldo?
No, we're sticking to the first question you just asked. Didn't
it? Oh, okay. Sorry.
No.
It was a follow-on. I thought it was a follow-on, but okay.
But Maddie, it's I think everyone, you know, everyone's got their favourites or their personal favourites. And also, it depends what era you're from. I'm sure
people... Yeah, but we're talking about the stats here. You know,
all about the era, kidding. Man. It's all whoever you grew up watching.
Yeah, people that grew up watching Pele will be like, you know, these guys are great, but they're not Pele. People that grew up watching Maradona will be like, Messi's brilliant, but he's not Maradona. And obviously, the sport evolves. Humans get fitter. Humans get quicker. They get stronger. Yeah. So, obviously, if Messi was playing in the 1950s, he'd walk it, but you can't compare different eras. Exactly. You just can't.
It's true.
You just can't.
Exactly.
Yo, man.
Exactly.
Listen, Theme, I'm going to just try and share with you on WhatsApp a little lyric, because obviously this is, you know, a graph and a hip hop pod, and you know, you're so kind to have me on.
And that's fucking amazing. What an amazing surprise.
And you're here talking to me and asking me all these questions, but I thought maybe you guys could have a little listen to this. So I'm just sending it via WhatsApp. Yeah. I don't know if that's going to work or if we need to get it to Maddie.
Who are you sending it to? Me?
Yeah.
All right, got it here.
I want to play. Okay. So
yeah, so it's just a little lyric I wrote today. I have to thank Stevie Wonder for the music, but it's just a lyric for you guys.
Wait, Theme, if you want to play it into your mic.
Should I play it into the mic or should I just send it to you?
No, because I won't. I mean, unless it's an MP3, if it's an MP3, send it.
It's just like a recorded sound on WhatsApp.
No, let's play it through the mic. It's better. And then you can forward it.
I'm just going to be holding it next to the mic.
All right, let's
this is the first time. I never heard this.
Amazing. Do you want to set it up or no? It's been set up, yeah?
Can you hear it?
I've known about Maddie from way back when. The boy from Ealing has a talent with his pen.
With his pen? Yeah, son.
Talent with spray cans, talent with a microphone. Philly D told me about him over some homegrown.
Philly D!
Yeah.
So I asked Theme about Amber, he said rated.
Salute.
Rated.
Little did I know, Andrew was infatuated.
Yeah.
Many months later, they're still brothers having a blast.
Oh yeah.
And now they're on the very, 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 very best
podcast.
Arms house to your mum's house. Arms house to your mum's house. Arms house to your mum's house. Oh yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. Arms house to your mother's house. I'll bring arms house to your mum's house.
Yes.
What a fucking rendition. Dios mio, Amber's on his feet. We're on our feet up in the place.
Wow, man. That was incredible, man.
Yeah, that was just done the other second. Just bosh.
Jeez Louise. Being
up things like that.
We're going to have to change the theme tune now, man. That's the theme tune now, man. That's it. We're going to have to slip that in. Yo.
It's all yours. It's all yours.
Man, that was incredible, man. We should have got a live rendition, but I know with the mic, it's difficult to,
I've got the guitar, but, I'm happy to have a jam and you boys can spit.
Yeah. Oh, man. I don't know if logistically that will work out right now, man. But, man. Okay, listen, guys, we've done 37 minutes. We've got 15 minutes from the other one. We got some listener questions we could get into. We got graph critique as well. So I reckon we should get into that right now. What do you think? Yeah? All right, cool.
Sounds like a plan, Maddie.
Let's hit the question.
Oh, the question, tu vois, the question, toi.
Eh, ouais. All right, let's go.
Yeah, what's up, boys? You good, yeah? Wait, it's good, I got a question for you, if that's cool, yeah? So, anyway, what's the worst roommate you've ever had? Safe.
Oh, there you go. Did you hear that?
The worst what?
Roommate. What's the worst roommate you've ever had? I've got a crazy mad one. I don't know.
Roommate.
Tim, can you think of one off the head now? Or I got one, though.
Fucking hell. Yeah, go on.
Mate, when I was at uni, yeah, at Brighton University, I was sharing a house with two of my good friends who I grew up with. And then this one random guy, his name was Tom, yeah? I won't say his second name. This guy, yeah, he was always, like, he was a smart dude and he came from a well-to-do family, yeah? But he just lived like a bum, yeah? And when I say like a bum, I'm talking he never cleaned, he never did nothing like that. And
Even that
I can get around, yeah? But then, am I all right? Yeah, and then... He was a DJ as well. So he had loads of CDs and he had his CDJs and he had his speakers, yeah, in his room. And he would just blast like that tech drum and bass, not even nice drum and bass, just that evil wah, 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 all through the fucking night while he's doing pills, yeah? And I'm going in there. I'm going, bro, it's 3 a.m. I beg you, just use
your phone. Where's this?
This is in Brighton when I was at Brighton. I'm like, bro, please. I'm like, I love raving. I love drum and bass. You know what I mean? I'm not dissing the music, but just use your headphones, man. He's like, nah, it's not the same through the headphones. I got to play it through the speakers. And I'm like, fuck sakes, yeah? But then what made it even worse, yeah? One day he locked his keys in the apartment. And none of us were home. And there happened to be scaffolding outside the building. So he climbed the scaffolding, got up to his window, smashed his window, and then came in. And this was during the winter. So then he couldn't stay in his room anymore because it was just super freezing cold. So he moved all his shit into the living room now, all his decks and his speakers and his fucking, he slept in there and never slept in there. And just now he took over the living room and it got to a point where we had to sit him down like several times and go, you can't live like this. We're all paying equal rent here. You know what I mean? You can't just take out the living room. You know what I mean? And the guy was just always spanging on pills. He always had
every day?
Pretty much every other day. Yeah, man. He was doing pills and just was a scatty dude, man, playing loud. It was just hell living with this fuck. And then my mate who I was living with, his girlfriend used to come over all the time. And then one night he was so spanging and we were all in the living room chilling and he pronounced his love for my mate's girlfriend in front of everybody. Like he must have been high and he just fucking did. And my mate now hates him.
Some proper druggy party house.
Yeah. Well, not
rank house.
The thing is, we were
rank.
He made it into that, which was like to our, you know, to our, you know, non-happiness or whatever the fucking word is, to our discontent. We didn't want a house.
Our dismay.
Our dismay, exactly. And then he was so, like, he became schizo because he was doing so many drugs and he was getting paranoid. And then it got to a point where my best mate, whose girl he pronounced to, his love to, and him couldn't be in the same room together. So, like, you know what I mean? It was like he'd be in his bedroom and then he'd be in the living room or they'd have to, like, it was hell living there.
Oh, that's awkward. Awkward. Yeah.
So that's one story. I mean,
I just remembered Art McCulloch.
Don't say full names, please. But yeah.
What a prick that he's a one. Yeah. A fucking rat face, scrawny, fucking crack smoking looking motherfucker.
Damn, who
like a una rata. Rata. It is disgusting.
Where was this?
That was in, bruv, yeah, Southfields, like near Wimbledon.
Mm.
And I got the link because he was working with one of our dad's brethren.
Mm.
And he was looking for a place to live. And that dad knew that I was looking for a place to live. And he hooked it up.
Okay.
And I just thought, like, he was going to be like him. Like, this is one of these guys are like, he smoked drawers all day, just chill out. You know, obviously got a good job, but mate, I was too young to think this geezer obviously doesn't have a good job. He's fucking 50 something.
Oh, right.
But like old, like looking dead.
Yeah. How old were you?
Man was like in his 20s, like young.
Yeah.
How old was I, Mouse?
20s, mid-20s, probably. I never met Art, but he's kind of mythical from hearing about him through theme.
All that shit. You never
no, I never met him, but I remember, I haven't thought of Art McCulloch in so long, but I remember you living with
him. A couple of heads knew him, Maddie. Mm. So he knows who I'm talking about because it's just like that.
So what did he do? What made him a bad roommate or housemate or whatever?
Bruv, I'm living in this old man's house, yeah, where he thinks he runs the roost. And I'm in like my early 20s going to like labouring jobs, saving up to go to Croatia. I drove there from fucking West London. I was saving up and living with this geezer, saving up and doing shit labouring jobs to go there. And he was a fucking cunt to me, yeah. Mm. Like a horrible cunt to me, yeah. To the point where like I couldn't do shit. If I used shit, he'd be like, why are you using it now? Like proper, like just you couldn't live. You know what I mean? And I was a ute as well, and I'd only lived with like a couple of mates beforehand. And I was like, right, what the fuck is this? And I just loud it and just chilled in my room. Like obviously, and then started off all right with him, completely broke down, and I was just like chilling in my room.
Mm-mm-mm.
And then he came in, he said something to me one morning, and he said something bad. But I can't remember what it is because it was a long time ago. But he said something for me to go to work thinking, no, that's it. But then that's it, bro. That's it. But it wasn't about money. It was about, I can't remember. What it, he was
would
like,
he, would he put like,
he used to think he was a little bit of like a scary bad man.
Mm.
Like he did used to do that, like to sort of tower over you a bit. And I remember thinking at the time, like, Rush, and I just like,
spark push him
out. These are off. I said, what are you doing? Do you know what I mean? And one day, obviously it wasn't with you. Oh, it was with Jean-Jacques. It was Jean-Jacques. And I said, Jean-Jacques, I'm going to move. Whilst this geezer's gone to work here, I took the day off work, bailed him. He came round. It was like, it was in this Nelson Mandela estate. No, it was called Andrew Mandela or something like that. It was called something. No, Andrew Reese Estate. It was something like that. Something like that, man. I can't remember what it was. But it was shit. It was just a terrible. We lived on the 16th or 14th floor.
Yeesh.
Mad view, like netting below us and shit on the outside of like a drop. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We had to go upstairs, me and my brother in the lift trying to rip out all this shit. I was banging the bird next door. One day, the bird next door, this is no word of a lie, yeah? I'm in bed and on my J's. I wasn't on my J's. He was probably there. I was in bed. It's knocking at the door. And I'm like, well, who's knocking at the door? I go and open the door and it's her in a dressing gown. Yeah. And I'm like going, and I haven't caught on at all. I'm like, all right, what's up? You all right? She's like, sorry, were you in bed? And I was like, yeah. Like, what are you doing, fucking idiot? Do you know what I mean? I was constantly in bed getting all, you come around to my house and have you lost your key? You know what I mean? She's like, oh, this isn't going very well. And I'm like, that's sweet. And she said, maybe shut the door and I'll try it again. I'm like, what? Shut the door, yeah? And she just completely takes off her robe, knocks on the door, and I open the door. She's like, hi, I'm from next door. I knew she was from next door, lived there for like fucking months. I just wonder if I can come in. I was like, yeah, come in, I've come in.
Yeah, what, butt naked?
Completely naked.
All right, sweet.
My actual, literal next door.
Yeah. So this has gone from...
You had to come out of my flat on the 14th floor and go like that.
So this has gone from the nightmare housemate to the best neighbor ever.
Memory, bro.
But still,
that was fucking amazing, bro.
So did it balance out then? Your shitty housemate and then you had a beautiful next door neighbor.
The man got upstairs, get all the shit, done a couple of trips and got the whole house of my shit gone. Yeah.
Mm.
Not paying him. Rare. If he wants to say shit, he can say shit. On the last trip, Big J is in the car, and I've gone on my J's.
Mm.
And it's Big J who I drove to Croatia with. And we coming down on my J's, come out of the house on the 14th floor, but it's like the movies. Like when the thing came up, bing, someone came out, and I could hear them coming out. And I knew Jean-Jacques was staying in the car, so I'm like, oh, Blakely could be him, yeah? Do you know what I mean? Or her. There was only like three or four people that lived on that floor. And for sure enough, they come in the house. Yeah, and it's him. And he starts chucking it straight away. Like, where were you then? And he's obviously seen the car downstairs, all my shit in it and stuff like that, because he was just parked like next to the door. We was trying to run in and out. Bro.
Yeah.
You think you can go without paying me there? And I just gripped him up, bruv. Like, finally had it. It was in the doorway. When they come in there, there's like a corridor here. My bedroom's like the first room you see as you enter the door. He's come into me like that, gripped him up and dashed him onto the bed, which had like no duvet, no sheets or anything. Went up to him and grabbed him like by the shoulders and the neck and just pinned him down and said, "That's fuck."
Cold stone stunned him onto the bed.
Yeah, that's it. I said, I should have done this fucking ages ago. I don't know why I didn't. You know what I mean? And just pulled up.
No, I've been lucky, really. I can't think of any nightmare housemates. Mm. I had great housemates in Nottingham, great housemates first time in Barcelona.
Amazing. Oh. I mean, the thing is, it's such a simple concept, though. Like, when you're living with people, man, it's give and take, you know? Because we're going to be in each other's space every
now
and again.
You want to talk about give and take. You need to get out of England. So some of these people you're mentioning, they gave a lot.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, once it gets unbalanced like that too much and you don't communicate and you get to a point where you're just mulling over how much you hate this person you're living with, and then it just culminates to a big thing, like fucking body slamming him into the fucking bed before you go.
Yeah. I want to talk about Barcelona and the days of Barcelona.
I mean, we can do that instead.
I want to talk about Esther and Kiko, no?
Set it up properly. Come on,
set
it up.
These are amazing people.
What are they? Come on, hit it.
They're flatmates that brought him in one day, said, "Yeah, man. Can't live with that." It turned out to be a wicked, wicked decision. You know what it is?
Yeah.
You go visit your bridge, and you're like, "Yo, well, these people are safe." You're like, "What the fuck?" He's like, "Yeah."
Yeah,
this is Maddie back in 05 when I went there. So I was 22 and found a room in a flat with three flatmates, right? Wanted to live with local people because I wanted to learn the language. Mm-hmm. And two of
those... Man learned it, by the way. Man learned it.
Yeah.
To a T. What?
And two of the flatmates were local. It was a boy called Kiko and a girl called Esther.
Absolute dons!
They're just... Yeah, I fell on my feet, Maddie, because they're just... Such good people who I'm still in touch with.
Yeah, amazing.
And then, as I mentioned earlier, theme came out four times. You know, he was coming to visit. He knew them really well.
Man used to stay.
Theme, remember when it was my birthday and Kiko and his friends gifted me a Catalunya?
Oh! What is it?
They gifted me the football shirt of Catalunya.
Oh, wow. Okay.
In a flat which was deeply rooted in Catalunya vibes. Like
Catalunya, yes.
Por favor.
It felt very special. It felt like, you know, being welcomed into the clan.
Ah, it was an amazing moment.
Yeah, it was amazing.
It was like that.
Yeah.
It was like the Knights of the Realm. Like, they're all tonk and taller than us.
Yeah.
Loud, big Spanish lads getting lashed or whatever. And they were like, "Yeah, this is for me." I happened to witness that.
Yeah.
Wow. Actually, that's interesting in Barcelona, the whole Catalonia thing. And I was there just after the riots happened and there was ACAB.
Do you remember?
It was great.
What did we used to write on the wall? Hispania knows Catalonia knows Hispania. But did I write in English?
I think so.
Catalonia knows
there was always massive graph. There was a fresh white wall next to the Sagrada Familia. It would say Catalonia is not Spain or something like that.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of that written around, like a bit political graph. Like,
yeah. This was 2017, basically. There was they wanted a referendum. Catalunya wanted a referendum to vote for their independence. And the referendum wasn't granted by Spain.
That was it. Yes.
And so it was rendered illegal, but Catalunya went ahead and had the ballot boxes and had the votes, and people went and there was violence. There was a clash between the voters and the Spanish police who'd come in to enforce that this referendum wouldn't take place.
It was illegal, yeah.
So that was like in 2017 and 2018, this was hot topic. All of the swell of support for independence was growing and growing. It felt as if it had gone above 50%. And the ramifications are being felt today. I mean, in the most recent general election, it was Puigdemont whose party pushed for that referendum, and he then was in exile
Yeah, he got locked up almost or something. Yeah, I remember.
Well, he fled to avoid. Yeah, he was in Belgium for a number of years, but he's back now. And although it was a minority that his party won, it was a key minority because it was a hung parliament. So it rattles on, but it's not quite as prevalent. It's not quite the swell of support for it. It's not quite as large as it was in 2017, 2018. But Maddie, like you said, you know, it was a massive deal then.
Oh, mate, because I remember in 2017, I literally turned up to Barcelona for work. I was working at Karl Lagerfeld, you know, that designer brand. So it was on the high street, you know, the really plush one with the Gaudi build, not the big Gaudi, the one with the garden on top. That area, so really rich area, but everything was battered with graff. Yeah. A cab, all cops are bastards, like sprayed everywhere on the street, on the pavement, and they were scrubbing it off when I was there. And I was like, damn, man, it kicked off, bro.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And even a year later, you know, huge. Yeah. Well, demonstrations, just massive demonstrations. And, and you know, when you got so many people, obviously there was some wreckage and some violence, but it was... Yeah, it was massive. It was massive.
What do you think? Do you think it should separate or should stay together? I mean, you don't have a...
I felt that they should have been permitted the referendum.
Mm. For democratic reasons, yeah.
Yeah.
Straight up.
Yeah.
But I'm assuming your housemates, Kiko and Nemlot, they wanted it separate.
But it's a very divisive topic within Catalonia.
But it's been a long time. Long time. It's not like a Brexit team where there's a vote to leave something. These people are like, that's where they're from.
Yeah.
This is Catalonia.
Yeah. And it's not the only region of Spain with its own language, its own flag.
Like the Basque country.
Yeah. There's, you know, the autonomous regions of Spain, but they have differing levels of economic independence. And Catalonia, many people feel that the deal they have with the central Spanish government isn't a fair one.
Yes.
In essence. But it's hugely divisive. You know, people, like, as it happens, my flatmate Kiko, yes, he's pro-independence.
Mm. All right. Okay. Listen, party people, we've done an hour now, man. So we've gone above and beyond. But I want to sneak in.
Do you have to go, Tim?
No, it's all good.
No, but I have to get this edited by midnight tonight. You know what I mean? So, you know what I mean? We can't go on for too much longer, but I'd love to get a graph critique in there. I know, Tim, I don't know. What's your history?
Man used to batter London, bruv.
Yeah. Tim, what was your history with graph? Sorry. Graph.
Tim, what was your introduction and history of graph?
Maddie, I was like a voyeuristic graph aficionado. I used to travel on the tube, on the train, on the bus, and I used to just look at everything. I was obsessed with it. I'd speak to Theme about it, and I would know when every tag or double piece popped up because I was always watching. But it was always kind of from the outside. Like, I never did it. I'd sketch and stuff on paper, but I never did it. You know, I never really did it. So I used to, you know, see ZDF crew and DDS crew and see all their graph and admire it and know the art, but not
SDF crew.
Yeah,
not ZDF. Incredible. SDF. And it's kind of like where I was thinking about this pod with the graph and the hip hop and the we're going to play a tune later if we've got time, haven't we?
We'll probably go out to it.
Yeah, wicked. And the reason I chose the track is because it's like, I heard someone say kind of recently, oh, I don't like hip hop. Like, I'm not a hip hop nut. I'm not a graph nut, but I like music and I like art. Yeah. And I used to, you know, in London, I used to just love looking at the graph. Love looking at the graph. And the same with hip hop. Like, there's some hip hop I love. There's some hip hop I don't like. The track we'll listen to later, for me, is like, how can you know? You know, it's just great music. Beyond being hip hop, it's just great music.
Yes.
Yeah, I like that.
Incredible. Yeah, man. Okay, so cool. So you have an interest. You know some of the terminology in graffiti then. You know what a toy is. You know what a king is.
I've seen bare Psy sketches. S-I-G-H.
Yeah.
Was a Psy dub never done?
Never.
Never. The dog shit park.
Never.
Never.
It was all
reaches. You caught some reaches.
A few reaches.
I used to put you
minimal.
Up quite a few times.
Oh, Eggie, I was always asking you to. You barely ever did. Yeah.
He was too busy putting himself up, man. All right. Has everyone got the photo?
Not yet. Hold on. Have you
sent it? No.
Okay. Has Theme not sent it over now?
I just got it. Sorry.
All good. Let me set it up then, man. Last week we got sent in a thing. We had a wicked chat with Steve's, and we did a bit of graph critique on a chap who wrote.
Oh,
Curb.
Big up Steve's, man. That was wicked.
So last week this got sent in, Curb, and it was really toy, and we were talking about tadpoles and catching jokes off him. Then he messaged me and said it wasn't him who sent it in; it was his mate sending it in, knowing it was really toy and knowing we were going to take the piss. So
it was still Curb or no?
It was Curb's piece, but he said I was drunk and the same excuses. He said, it was a toy thing and blah, blah, blah. I did it ages ago. So I said to him, all right, sorry about that, but send me a newer one and we'll chat about that as a redemption. So he sent me this one, yeah?
No way!
Yeah. It's
no way!
It's much better.
You've done the same thing with the fucking R. What the fuck is...
Yeah, the R still has the thing on it, though. It's much better than it was, though. It's much better than the last one.
It's so bad to laugh. But, bruv!
So, it's another Curb, K-E-R-B, black fill, white stars, white outline, black one time, blue, like cloud around the outside, little bits of green in there, and gray with a shadow to the left or 3D to the left. What's your first thoughts, Tim? Just looking at that, I mean...
Like it. I like it, Maddie. I like it. I like that. I'm not mad on the fill, but I like, apart from the R, which I think you guys recognize as a bit gammy on the leg of the R, but from that, AEB, I like it. The blue's not polished, is it?
The blue, it's a bit.
But overall, personally, I quite like the lettering. Yeah.
I mean, it's relatively, simple, straightforward, which is a good thing, I think. It's got a little bit of flair to it. Oh, yeah, it's got the red highlights as well and little, highlighty bits in the red. I think the schemes are evenly, distributed. Like, there's no bits where it's clumping up too much here and there. Very nicely balanced. Yeah, just that, the leg of the R, but on this one, rather than the leg being too thin, it's got that little kind of weird bit coming out of the bottom of the left leg of the R, and it's going on top of the, like a little penis on top of the right bit of the R.
Why does it? No, it actually looks like a fucking cock of a cock and ball set.
It does. It's got a little head on it and everything.
That's the left bit at the bottom of the bit of the R going over coming the up top. And across.
And that's the bit.
And then a helmet bit on it.
It doesn't happen anywhere else on the piece. I don't know why he decided to do that. Maybe he thought the negative space.
Why
there
doesn't
was too
he
wide.
Just bring the second, the bottom right bit of the R?
Yeah, and bring it in. Yeah, or something. Yeah, exactly. Something else, man.
Or just basically just bring it down.
Yeah.
Why is there always something going on there?
Exactly. I mean, I think it's because the K. Look at the bottom of the K. Just keep it like that with the R.
That's what I'm saying.
You match the K with the R. Boom. Why do you have to do something different there? You know,
bottom
what I mean?
Of the B with the border going around like that. Off the piece and the dot dot, it reminds you of a Blink piece, Blink dub.
A little bit of Blink, yeah, I agree. But to be honest, it's much more competent than the last one.
It's much better than the last one. You don't have to do that shit with the R. Why don't you just get the fucking R and do it normally like you've done all the other letters? Why does it always have like some fucking wrinkly Earthworm Jim knob hanging out?
Exactly, man. Jeez Louise. There's some great graph in Barcelona, man. Just walking around that city, there's so many cool, weird things. Because also the Spanish, that southern part of Europe there is like kind of weird styles you get. But you get like an amalgamation, some traditional style graffiti, some weird, crazy Euro styles, and then like mad, like symbolic, weird kind of stuff.
I'm just going to go and pick something up over there.
All right, cool. Go for it. But it must be beautiful walking around that city, Tim, and just seeing the street art and the graph. And
there's a couple of massive legal walls near where I live, like one block this way, and then there's a skate park with massive walls that all get painted. And a couple of months back, we saw that the council had paid to have the whole skate park buffed, painted in painted over in brown, just the whole thing. Mm.
I remember you sent me a photo, no?
Yeah. And we were just watching them do it and just thinking, this is the biggest waste of money. Because it's going to be regrafted in days. I don't understand why you would do it. And and it was a massive operation. I had about 8 staff, you know, repainting. All these
and it was what, a skate park?
Yeah.
What's the point of doing it there?
We've kind of spoken about this a couple of times on the pod. Like, a lot of it is symbolically done by governments that go, we're in charge, we're in control of the situation, yeah, just to kind of show. Right.
Yeah.
That's why they do things like that. And then they just get graft the next day. And then after a couple of weeks, it's back to how it was. I mean, yeah. it's just they do it just to kind of tick off a box and say, we tried or we did it. You know, it's just
made no sense. It made no sense. And you
are you happy to have left Londres?
Yeah, that we came for a year.
To go and live in Barcelona.
We came for a year and we're still here. We love it.
Fucking wow. Loving that decision, bruv.
We love it,
man. 10 out of 10 lifehood, lifestyle decision, bruv.
Incredible.
Sensational. Big decision to make. Fucking sensational.
Steve, we got to go to do a trip to Barcelona and we'll do an episode in Barcelona.
Yes, with and Tim. Paint one of these walls near me.
Sensational. Yeah? Sensation.
All right, look, my internet is playing up. We've got to wrap this up.
Yeah, but make sure you invite Messi and Ronaldinho, yeah? Because, best mates. Yeah.
Got it. So. But do you want to set up this song? You wanted to set up this song and we'll go out on the song.
Wicked. Theme said choose a song. There's so many I could have picked, but this I didn't want to overthink it and this one came to mind. And it's a hip-hop track, but it's just a track. It's just a great tune. It's just a musical track that I hadn't heard in years, and I heard it not that long ago. And when I reheard it, having not heard it in a while, it just hit me straight in the heart. And I love as well, Maddie. One of the things I love across all genres is love songs. I love it when people write from the heart, and I feel like this track has it. And it's love the London sound to it.
Your track, the track you wrote and played earlier today in this episode, certainly came from the heart. Very thoughtful, sensational.
It was
track.
Incredible. Theme, you have to send that to me now, please. Don't Beautiful forget. Track. I need it for the edit.
I was hoping to find like an actual Barcelona album.
Uh-huh.
Old school photo album. I have it because that might be where
dig it out.
I don't even know it's spent.
Afterwards, theme, dig it out. Yeah, send me any photos you want to include because I'm editing this tonight. So you got literally only a minute to do it. So the song Tim was talking about is Dreamy Days by Roots Maneuver. For me, this song, it's definitely more of his commercial stuff, even though Roots Maneuver, he's such a legend. Like you can tell he doesn't make stuff to be commercial.
No, he's a musician.
He just makes beautiful music and then. And he just crossed over, you know what I mean? Because it's incredible. He's such an incredible dude. And it's a shame. I think he has health issues at the moment or whatnot. I think that's why he's not releasing so much. Don't quote me on that. I don't know. But this song in particular, for me, there's certain songs that can take you back to the time when you heard it back then. I think this came out in the early 2000s, maybe 2001, 2002. I'm not sure, but it just takes me back to, them days, man. And it's got that nostalgic feel-good factor to it.
What's it called? Dreamy Days.
Dreamy Days from the Run Come Save Me album, Roots Maneuver album, which is I think its second album we've witnessed.
It's gonna be fun and lots of laughter.
All right, party people, that's been episode 85 of Arms House to Your Mom's
International Bad Man Inside the House.
Tim Lee, thank you very much for joining us. Of course, hopefully we can get you back in the future, right?
Cheers, Maddie. Cheers, team. Thanks for having me on.
Hablamos más tarde. Seguro que sí.
Yes, and thank you for your, football critique and
sensational knowledge of all things pulled out of the hat immediately on the plate. You want the answer to that? There you go. You fucking
boom.
Dick.
Dreamy Day. Roots Maneuver.
Professional. Timmy Lee forever. This is nice.
just the long foot bandito. I might take off my shoes, won't take off my socks tonight. Take a little peep under that frock tonight. But there'll be nobody pop, pop tonight. You know my style, I keep it on a holy out of body mind blown. We in some zone. So how deep can we sow those seeds and proceed to buck the limit? Spinning in the whirlpool, essential peak. Messing around with all these chemical rushes. When natural highs come a whole lot cheaper. Sweet Tequila got me singing. Baby, I got this sudden urge to misbehave. Yo. I want to take you away from all the stresses. Buy you nice flowers and expensive dresses. You don't believe me. You think I'm cheesy?
Do you think I need to go and paint that yellow BR, bruv?